continuing in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Aleph. If there is a Shavua Midaraisa, Bezdin can actually seize a person's personal property until he pays up. If it's Midarabanan, that's a Machlekes. If a Cheres Shaita V'Katan finds a Metzia, and someone else takes it, this is called Gezel Gomor. Others say it's only Gezel due to Mei Darkei Shalom. If a person refuses to pay or swear, we put him into Cherem for 30 days. Then we give him Malkus. If Reuven lends money to Shimon in front of Edom, he must pay back in front of witnesses. But Shmuel says, we believe him if he said he paid back Stam. Others say, he doesn't have to pay back in front of Edom. Kutrus al-Hadaf brings that the halacha follows the view of Hamalve es chavere bifnei Edom, ein tzarech lifare bi Edom. Even if one takes out a loan in the presence of witnesses, it's not necessary for him to repay the debt specifically in the presence of witnesses, unless specifically it was required at the time of the loan. The Gemara deals with a case of a borrower then who submitted that he had two witnesses to prove that he repaid his debt. And then, much to the borrower's chagrin, the witnesses appeared in court and maintained that they knew nothing about his purported repayment. Rava asserts that this does not prove the borrower to be a liar, because kol milsa de la ramya leha de inish lava daite. A person easily forgets something which he doesn't consider to be essential. Rashi explains that since one is not required to repay his debt in the presence of witnesses, we assume that the borrower got confused and was mistaken about the presence of witnesses. Alternatively, the Rach explains that since the halacha does not require one his debt in the presence of witnesses to repay the debt, we assume that the witnesses may have forgotten about the repayment because they did not consider it to be vital testimony. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Amud Aleph, discusses a case where a borrower, upon being asked to repay an outstanding debt, said specifically that he repaid the loan in the presence of Ploni and Ploni. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha maintains that once the borrower comes out and opens the door, so to say, and declares that witnesses to his repayment do exist, then he has to produce the purported witnesses to substantiate his claim, even though he wasn't required to do this lechatchila, to repay it in the presence of witnesses. The Rif, as explained in the Ritva, finds Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's ruling in Baba Basra incompatible with Rava's statement in our Gemara, because according to Rava, what point is there in requiring the borrower to produce his purported witnesses if their denial will not implicate him anyway? Many Rishonim, however, reconcile Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's ruling and Rava. Taisvis suggests that Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha agrees to Rava that even if the witnesses claim ignorance, it will not obligate the borrower to repay the loan, but he requires the borrower to produce his witnesses so as to enable Bezdin to clarify the matter to the best of their ability. The Ritva explains that the point in having the borrower produce his witnesses is to avoid having to impose a shvua on the borrower to affirm that he paid. The Gemara says, once a malve said to a loive, when you pay back the loan, be sure to do it in front of Reuven and Shimon. Instead, he did it in front of two other people. The malve then claimed their edei sheker. Abaye says, since the Loive did pay back Bifnei Shnayim, they're believed. Rava says, no, since the Malva specified specific people, if he didn't pay back in front of them, he's Chayiv. And finally, the rule is that something that is not critical to someone, they often forget about. Call Milsa Deloi Ram Yala De Inish Lav Adaite. Daf Membeis. If the Loive said to the Malva, if you simply say, I didn't pay you back, I'll be Chayiv to pay you. So if he pays back in front of Edom, and then the Malva denies the whole thing, Abaye and Rava say he still chayav to pay, since he put full nemanus on the Malva. But Rav Papa said no, he's potter, since two Edom are stronger than this nemanus. When it comes to the nemanus of Edom, two Edom are as strong as three Edom, and in fact as strong as 100 Edom. Trey is considered kemeya, umeya kitrei. The Gemara says that there is no din of shvua through a taina of a cheresh shaita v'katan, since the pasuk specifies ki yitain ish. The only time it is considered there is potentially a shvua is if there was a nesina of an ish to a katan in giving over a chayfetz. In front of the malva, a leiva would never have the chutzpah to be kaifer bakal. Ein odam meiz panav bifnei bal chayva. But the leiva would have the chutzpah to deny the loan in front of the son of the malva. When someone collects in a case of a shvua, he can only collect ziburius, the lowest quality land, but nothing better. Finally, the chazaka is that a shchiv mera, a person who is on his deathbed, would never commit fraud with the money of hektish. The Mishnah. On these cases, there is no shvua. Number one, anything that involves shtar. Number two, anything that involves karka. Or number three, anything that involves hektish. Remeir says, there are some things that are partially like karka and partially not. For example, vines, where there is a machlekes, if there is a din of shvua or not. In general, there can only be a shvua if both the taina and the haida are on something that is either measurable, mida, weighable, mishkal, or countable, minyan. It has to be mida, mishkal, or minyan in order for there to be a shvua. Gemara. These cases have no kefil. This is learnt from a klalu pratu klal, due to the pasuk of al kol devar pesha, that you only have kefil by davar hametaltel v'gufay mamon, which comes to exclude karkois, shtaris, and avodim. Daf mem gimel. If a tviya is on a large menorah, and the haida is only a small menorah, there is no chiyuv of shvua, because this is not called something that is countable. Going from large to small is not something that can be called countable. The Mishnah. Reuven lent money to Shimon, and he has a mashkin from Shimon, but he lost it, so he's chayiv to replace it. If the malva says, I lent you a sella, and the mashkin was worth a half a sella, so now you still owe a half a sella, this is called maide b'miktsas, and he's chayiv to swear. However, if the malva was kaifer bakol, then he's potter. And the shvua in general, when we say we have to make a shvua, is made by the one who has the bikkudin in his possession. The Gemara. The first shvua is the malva, who swears he doesn't have the bikkudin. Then the leiva can swear on how much it was actually worth. If a person lends his friend money, received a mashkin, and it got lost, Rabbi Eliezer says he can make a shvua that it got lost, and he'll get his money back, because he's considered to be like a shemer chinam. Rabbi Akiva says, the mashkin is in place of the loan, so if it gets lost, he loses all of his money. Daf mem dalet. Rabbi Yitzchak asks, how do we know that a bal chayiv has a full kinyan in the mashkin he receives? Taisvis explains, this means that he's now considered to be at least a shomer sachar, and if the mashkin is lost, vayanaynis he's chayiv. How do we know that? We know it from the pasuk in Devarim Chaf Dalet, which says, ulecha tihiyeh staka. When the bal chayiv returns the mashkin to the leiva for his personal use, it's called staka. Ulecha tihiyeh staka. Well, if the mashkin isn't in the rishus of the malva, and it isn't like he completely has it in his rishus, how can that be called staka? You can't give something which you don't actually have in your rishus. It must be that the malva is kind of the mashkin. That's why when he gives it to the leiva, it's considered staka. If someone found a lost object and is now watching it, Rabbi says he has a din of shomer chinam, who will be pater migneva va'aveda. Rabbi Yosef says he's considered a shomer sachar, which means he's chayev if geneva or aveda happens to the item, since he receives the schar of the mitzvah, therefore he's considered a shomer sachar. If someone lends money, takes a mashkin, and uses the mashkin, it's a machlekes if he still gets the schar mitzvah, because he used the mashkin. Finally, Shemitah, which we know normally cancels debts, Shemitah will only cancel a debt where there is no mashkin. But if there was a mashkin, even on part of the loan still remains chal, and Shemitah is not meshamet the loan. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Zayin, Kol Hanishbayin, the Mishnah. Every case of Shvua deraisa, it's the Nitva who makes the Shvua, so he won't have to pay. However, the Rabbanan were mesaken a number of cases where a person can swear to take money from his friend. And there are four cases. Number one, a hired worker who said he wasn't paid. Number two, someone who was the victim of a theft. Number three, someone who was injured. And number four, a grocer using his ledger. But Rabbi Yehuda says, there must be some haida, i.e. it must be maida b'miktsas, for the payment to be chal. Continuing on daf mem hei with the Mishnah, if the nitva was someone who was mesachek b'kuvya, therefore he's considered a gazlin midrabanan, because we hold a smachta leikanya, therefore he's a gazlin, or he takes ribbis, or he does work with shvius, these people are all chashid b'shvua, so the teveya can swear and take money. If the teveya is chashid, the shvua goes back to the nitva. Remeir says, yachloiku. The case in the Mishnah of chen v'ni alpin kosai is if a balabayis told the grocer to give my son some wheat. The grocer says he gave it, and the son or worker says he didn't. They can each take if they swear. Banana says no one swears, because we have to be careful for shvua shav. Obviously, if both swear, someone must be lying, and we're going to cause someone to make a false shvua. If Reuven says to the grocer, I paid you, so now give me the paris, and the grocer says, I gave it to you already. The grocer swears. Rabbi Yehuda says anyone who has the peiros, i.e. the Baal HaBayis in this case, has yado al ha'yoyna, he has the upper hand, and he doesn't have to swear, since the chazaka is that the chenveni doesn't give away food on credit. Also, the Mishnah says, when Yusaimim come to collect from other Yusaimim, they must swear. Finally, there are some cases where people swear, even without a taina. Shutfin, apitropin, or someone in a house designated as the money watcher, or sharecroppers. Finally, Shemitah not only cancels a loan, but it cancels any shvua as well. The Gemara. The reason a worker can swear and take money from his employer is because the worker toils very hard, and implicit, the employee allows this shvua so people will want to come and work for him. The Gemara explains that the reason the Rabbanim placed the shvua on the employee, allowing him to swear and collect his payment, rather than forcing the employer to make the shvua, is because of the klal of Baal HaBayis Torad B'Payalav. A employer is very busy with a lot of workers, therefore he may get confused between the different employees, thinks that he paid this one when really he paid someone else. The Rambam, in Hilchos Chiras, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, said that this halacha applies even in the case where the employee is a katan, someone under the age of bar mitzvah. That if the katan comes along and says he wasn't paid, we can allow the katan to make a shvua and get paid. The Ravid, however, says, he argues on the Rambam, and he says that we can never put a shvua to a katan and never force a katan to make a shvua. Therefore, in a case like this, we actually shift the chiyuv of the shvua from the katan, who is the employee, and we shift it over to the employer, who then swears that he paid. If he doesn't want to swear that he paid, then he has to pay the katan. The Gemara then asks, so why don't we always have the employer pay his workers in front of witnesses to avoid all these problems? The Gemara answers, it's too much of a bother. If someone works during the day, the Baal HaBayis has the entire night to pay him. If he doesn't, he's over on the Isser of Lay Sullen. If the worker wants to swear that he wasn't paid, the worker can't swear at night, since there's a chazaka that employees are not over on the Isser Daraisa of Lay Sullen. Finally, Shmuel says the halacha of Shvuas Neidlin only applies if the worker was hired with Edom. But if he was not hired with Edom, the Baal HaBayis is potter, since he has a migu that he could say, I never even hired you. And he would be completely potter. Daf Mem Vav. If the worker says he was promised 2 slaim, and the employee says he promised only 1 sela, in this case the Baal HaBayis swears to potter himself. But Rabba Bar Shmuel says, this is true due to Hamaitzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. The Gemara says, if Avram was holding an axe and he declares, I'm going to cut down the tree of Yitzchak, if later we find Yitzchak's tree was cut, we don't say that Avram is chayev, since people have a tendency to exaggerate and not do what a person boasts that he's going to do. If Edom saw Reuven leave the house of Shimon with Kalim under his beged, Reuven says he bought them. Shimon says he lent them. We say Reuven is not believed unless this Baal HaBayis has a business of selling Kalim. Then if Reuven swears, he can keep the Kalim. Daf Mem Zayin. Our Mishnah lists both cases of Psulin Midaraisa, where a person, for example, swore falsely, and cases of Psulin Midarabanan, like if someone, for example, is Mesachek Bekuvia, he's a gambler. We paskin from the Mishnah that the halacha is like the shita which holds yachloiku. The Gemara says if we can't come to resolution, some say the shvua goes back to Hashem, who will punish the one who is lying. Rabbi Seinu Be'eretz Yisrael say it goes back to the nitva, and if he can't swear, then he must pay. If 2 sets of yusaimim are tevea against each other, they don't have to swear. The Gemara says the lav of leisinaf, adultery, not only applies to a person who commits adultery, but even if someone assists or provides the resources for these purposes, they're also chayev. Although Paras was the smallest river that branched out of Edom, it was still called the Great River, since it touched Eretz Yisrael, i.e., as given Lamaha Davar Daima, Mash Lamaha Davar Daima, just like someone who is an Eved to a Melech, that person is considered sort of like a Melech himself, because since he sort of touches the Melech, so to say, it rubs off on him as well. Daf Mem Ches. The Mishnah says, when Yusaimim come to collect, they must swear. This is referring to a case when both the Malva and the Loiva die, and Yusaimim want to collect from other Yusaimim. The Gemara says, we hold, like Rav and Shmuel, that a father cannot pass along a chiyuv shvua to his children. Ein adam meirish shvua labanav. If Reuven marries and his first wife dies, then Reuven remarries and then Reuven dies, the second wife and those Yarshim have Kadima over the children of the first wife. Rabbi Nosson says, the koyach of a son can be greater than the koyach of the father, since sometimes when a son wants to collect with a shtar from Yisraimim, he has to make a shvua, but sometimes he doesn't, but the father must always swear. Finally, when the Mishnah says that some people swear even without a taina, it means even without a taina's bari, but only that a taina's shema exists. Even then, they must swear. Daf Mem Tes. Not only can a shvua daraisa cause a gilgul shvua, but even a shvua midirabanan can cause a gilgul shvua. Finally, we learn that Shemitah nullifies all loans from the pasuk in Devarim Tes Zayin, v'zeh dvar ha-shemitah. That shows us that even a dibur is nullified in Shemitah. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the final parak, parak Ches, Arba Shemrim, the Mishnah. There are four types of Shemrim. Number one, a Shemer Chinam, a person who watches something for free. Number two, a Shayel, a person who borrows something and doesn't pay for the use of the item. Number three, a Naisei Sachar, this is a person who gets paid to watch an item. And finally, number four, a Secher, a person who pays to rent for the usage of an item. A Shemer Chinam swears to pater himself for everything, except he's chayev for pshia. In other words, if something happens to the item, he's watching the thing for free, and something happens to the item, he's always pater, unless it was pshia, unless it was negligent. A shayel pays for everything. He, because he's borrowing it and not paying to borrow it, if anything happens to the item, he's always chayev, except in the case of mesa machamas melocha. If the item sort of died a normal death from normal usage. For example, if a person, let's say, borrows a vacuum cleaner, and the vacuum cleaner is 5 years old, and normally after 5 years, the vacuum cleaner, you know, stops working. So the person at that point would be pater, because it could have happened to the owner after 5 years, but it also happened to this person who borrowed it after 5 years. Now you say Sachar and Secher have the same halacha. They're both chayev for Gneva Vaveda. The Mishnah mentioned before that a Shemer Chinam has to swear about what happened to the item. Let's say a Shemer Chinam lies about what happened to the item. But either way, if the person wouldn't have swore, either whatever happened, he would be pater anyway, then he remains pater. But if he swore and he lied to make himself pater when really he was chayev, then he's chayev. If someone is maida that he lied, we say maida b'knas is pater. So he just pays keren, but he pays no knas of chaymish. The general klal is that if someone lies mi'chayev l'chayev, he would have been chayev anyway, and now he lies and he's also chayev, so to say, or mi'ptur l'ptur, or mi'ptur l'chayva, then he's pater from a carbon. But if it's mi'chayva l'ptur, then you're chayev a carbon, since they're kaifer b'mumen. Gemara. The Tana who learns the inyan of Dalad Shemrim is Rameir, and he's the same one who learns that a Shemer Sachar is equal to a Secher, and both are chayev b'gneva v'veda. Finally, Rabbi Eliezer says that when the Mishnah says pater, it means pater from Shavuos Shemrim, except for two cases. Number one, Eini Yodea Ma Tasach D'Shayel. And number two, Gneva V'Aveda of Noise Sachar V'Secher, where they are Chayev for Shvua Shemrim, since they are Kaifer B'Mamen. This marks the end of the Masechta, and here we'll say Hadron Alach Masechta Shvuas.